Hello, y'all. It is Gift of Fat Month. So if you're watching the recording and it is after July of 2019, just know that this is a video all about the realistic plan, but we are doing this live for our girls who are going through the Gift of Fat Challenge, which is simply a way for everyone to gift me some weight this month. I was sitting there thinking, like, what is it that would mean so much to me this year as I'm turning 45? And just seeing y'all's success is the best gift I could ever get. So it's hilarious because Kathy and I just got through doing a podcast where we did a recap of what I learned from 44 to 45. How I've grown and what was 45 to 46 going to look like for me. And it was very emotional. I cried a lot, and it's just been such a good year. It's been a dream year for me in terms of the relationship with my child changing so much, with the relationship with my husband, and more importantly, the relationship with myself. I've really, I was telling Kathy in the podcast, I just don't think that there's been any year outside of the year that I lost my weight, that there has been so much significant growth for myself personally, and just being, I don't know, like just more intentional and things like that. And that's what the realistic plan is all about. It's about intentionality and meeting yourself where you are and being willing to do that for yourself. A lot of us, when it comes to the realistic plan, won't want to do it because we think it's not good enough or whatever. And I'm like, why not just think of it as this is what I'm doing for my future self? She has to start somewhere. She can't just start at the very beginning, at the very end of the journey and work her way backward. So I love the realistic plan. I believe in it. Of all the things that I teach in the tribe, I think it's one of the most important because it's how I did my weight loss. And so whenever any of you are doubting for a moment that the realistic plan will not work for you, please always remember that that is exactly how I lost 100 pounds. I lost 100 pounds continually using the backbone of the realistic plan. I keep my weight off because I have a very realistic plan for me in maintenance. So I know it works, and I just want you to, if you don't believe in it yet, then borrow my belief and know that if it worked for me, it will work for you. Let us do this. I'm going to pull up Q&A. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the points that I wanted to cover specifically about the realistic plan tonight. What I would love to be able to do is I would like for you guys to ask questions in the Q&A if you want me to answer it. Please be very specific. Don't do generalities of like, tell me about this. Like, I really want to hear what you would want to be answered. Then I will go through some of those. Kathy is going to be over in the chat answering questions. If there's any questions over there or just anything that she needs to cover, going to rat her out. She's also making dinner. She just left my house and had to go home, and she was like, and I'm at my negative two. I asked her, I said something about, like, she was like, she's giving up her afternoon snacks this week for me. And I said, okay. And I was like, are you hungry in the afternoon? She's like, oh, I'm hungry right now. And she said it with the most serious face ever. It was hilarious. And so she was going home to make dinner for her and Shelby. And then, but she was going to be in the chat with you guys at the same time. So if you have questions, you can populate the Q&A. And then at the end, if there's any time for coaching, I will coach someone. So don't raise your hands right now. I'm going to call on at the end, because if I cover it during the class, then you might not need to be coached. So I just want to let you know, though, at the end, I may coach one or two of you. So we will just go from there. Let me pull up my notes, though, because I actually have really good notes that I took today, and I want to make sure that I do all of that. All right, let me put my notes over here so I can see you guys over here. All right, so first, what is the realistic plan? So for all of you, you know that if you listen to module one of No BS, that is where I introduced the concept of realistic planning over there for you. And it is about making, and this is the other thing that I want to say about it. So you can watch for the basics there, but the realistic plan is really about you learning how to build your confidence. So I want you to think about confidence this way. confidence is earned by doing things and then proving to yourself you can. So a lot of times when we're first starting with PNP and we're starting our weight loss, we have a lot of fear and a lot of doubt about our ability to be able to lose weight. And what a lot of us do is we tend to set ourselves up for failure by starting way further down the road than what we're really willing to commit to. So I'm a big believer in starting where you are and making small changes so that you can build your commitment skill. And when you build commitment and you start following through and you learn the idea of like, all right, I'm going to think through every day what I'm going to eat. So that means I'm going to make some decisions ahead of time. I'm going to only put things on my plan that I am committed to eating no matter what. So I build the skill of following the plan, accessing the plan, questioning myself when I'm indulging and maybe breaking the plan and stuff. When you build all those skills, then you build commitment. And so the result becomes you get stronger and stronger at following plans. Then you start getting into a new whole concept of thinking where it's like, oh, if I can do this, I probably can do that. And then you start getting confident. You start getting confident that, oh, I can do these things. Now I can start leveling up some. That is how the realistic plan works. Now, some of you, what you tell me in the very beginning is like, oh my God, how will I ever lose weight eating those things? Girl, you ain't losing weight doing your busted ass, like I'm going to plan too hard, lose 15 pounds, and then gain 15 back shit. That's not working. So don't fool yourself or entertain yourself into thinking that strict plans that take away everything all at once and stuff, if it worked for you, you would do it. But I'm not in the business of teaching you how to just lose weight. I'm in the business of teaching you how to lose your weight and to continue the success and never have to do shit again. That's what we're after. So if you want to like start off like ass on fire and all this other stuff and you're 100% committed to it, it's fine. That is your realistic plan for where you are thinking and feeling right now. But if you're doing it because you think, well, that's the only way to lose weight, I couldn't do it this way, and it feels like you're doing it from a place of bullshit or I've got to be miserable in order to lose weight, if it feels terrible, please do not do it. We do not lose weight because we're going to self-loathe and self-deprecate. Like the only way I could ever lose weight is to be miserable. The only way I could lose weight is there's no way I could eat carbs and stuff. It's like, you don't know. You've never tried to lose weight eating moderately, eating sensibly, making small changes. Like, let's just, like, for all of you who sit around and say, like, I don't know if that's going to work. It's like, no, you don't. So let's try it. You don't need to know something's going to work to try it. It's just like a lot of you, like, if you've ever done keto, you didn't know if keto was going to work either. But you, for some reason, you figured out a way to pull the trigger on that one. There's all kinds of bullshit diets that you try. There's all kinds of bullshit things you do in your life that you're not guaranteed it's going to work, but you try it anyway. This is one of those opportunities you get to try something, and you're not going to sit there and pretend that you have to know it works. That's called the weenie's way out. We're not weenies in this group. We can deal with figuring it out, knowing if it's going to work or not, tweaking and leveling up. We can do all of that. All right. So the realistic plan also works very beautifully for lots of different areas in your life. So I wanted to make sure you guys knew that the realistic plan also can work with exercise. I know a lot of you are wanting to start to get active, especially on a big challenge month like this. A lot of people want to add some movement in. Be realistic. Do not go sign up at the gym and start going 5 days a week and get your ass handed to you, and then in the next week you're so sore you can't move that you never go back, or that you feel so terrible that you can't keep up that you don't go back for shame. Do like I did. I did realistic planning with everything. I did it with journaling. Like, I didn't do crazy ass models and stuff in the beginning. You know what I did? I just wrote about what I was feeling that day. I just wrote for my own peace of mind to know what I was thinking and feeling. I did it with exercise. I started with 15-minute walks. I did it with my food. I didn't cut out everything. Like, I just started with eating a little bit less of all the foods that I loved. Eventually, I was like, you know what? Let's not go out to eat for a week. We usually go out to eat two or three times. Let's try 1 week with we don't, just to see what happens. Like, I was always just thinking about it in terms of, like, let's try things. That is the backbone of the realistic plan. It allows you to start where you are, to build that confidence, to see where you can go. All right, so why do we do it? Number one, let me just move this over here. I don't like looking off to the side. Studies show that successful people, they understand where they are going, and they are very willing to be patient with small milestones until success is achieved. So, like, I was looking at a lot of things in the last few weeks about what do successful people do and how do they think. And successful people, one of the most, like, recorded habits that they have is they don't change everything at once. Successful people make decisions fast and then they implement, but they don't make decisions to just blow it all up and then just do a million things. They pick something and they get busy at one thing. And that's why I want you guys to do in the realistic plan this week. It's like, I want everybody making very realistic plans. All of you will have different ones as you guys share them. Some of you, your realistic plan is like literally going from the Big Mac to a freaking double cheeseburger. It's like, you got to cut back somewhere. I'm going to have the mustard instead of the mayonnaise, whatever it is. Some of you, it's like, you're already eating pretty healthy. It's now it's time for your realistic plan to be like, you know what? It could probably be like Kathy. I'm going to skip my afternoon snacks. Or I've been adding croutons to my salad every day. This week, I think I can like do without croutons. Whatever it is, I just want you guys thinking about where you're at. What are the small milestones? Because that's what successful people do. They break down their goals into these tiny series of things that need to be done, and then they tackle them one at a time. So the realistic plan, I think, is one of the best early adopters of the plan, and you're always going to use it. Once you build the skill of using your realistic plan, you will build your skill of having your realistic plan for a long time. I'm still using it 14 years later. I know it works. When you doubt, believe me. And then I already talked about this. Oh, so most of you, like, your tendency, a lot of you are going to be to start too hard. And what I don't want you to do is I don't want you starting out too hard. I want you to start out achievable and doable. Or as I like to also say, achievable and reachable, because they rhyme. So I want you to think about when you make your realistic plan, one of the best questions I ever have you guys ask is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do I rate myself on executing this today? If that is not an 8 or better, you have a problem. You don't have a realistic plan. You have a plan that you think you should be doing. You have a plan that you have doubt and insecurity over. I don't mind you being a little like, okay, I've not been following them, but I feel pretty good about it. There can be like a tad bit of hesitancy or something, but I want you thinking about when you're going to step over the hurdle of hard, it needs to be tiny. We are not going to be pole vaulting. When you create really difficult plans for yourself, it's like saying, okay, I'm going to have my normal life where I haven't done any of my thought work and all my other bullshit. And then all day long, I'm also going to take all my food away and I'm going to have to be willing to choose the hard thing when I haven't even worked on releasing my hard-ass thoughts about the rest of my life. I want you guys really focused on setting achievable and reachable milestones for yourself. It means that realistic plan needs to be an 8 or better. If it's not, back to the drawing board. What do you need to add or what do you need to change to make it feel really solid? And then do that. Commit to it. So one of the things that I love, like, for you guys to be able to, like, decide how to do your realistic plan is I like for you to think about, where do you want to be in the future? Now, for some of you, you're like, woo, girl, I can already think about my 1 year plan. Like, I know who I want to be at the end. And some of you are like, oh no, I can't see my future self yet. So I'm going to think about the next 30 days or the next 90 days. I can think about where she is. So I want you all to think about this. Let's just use in 30 days. In 30 days, my future self is doing these things. This is not how much weight she's lost. This is not anything other than these are the things she does. So in 30 days, my future self is solidly following her plans. She's making a plan every day and she's assessing. She always does her recovery worksheets. Within 30 days, she knows the foods that work for her and the ones that don't. In 30 days, she's doing a journal entry each day about her thoughts, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be all those things, but it needs to be like thinking about in 30 days, this is the person that I want to be. And then take inventory of who you are today. So this is who I want to be in 30 days. And guys, like I said, you can do 90, 6 months, whatever feels right to you. This is where she is. And here's where I am now. So all the things that she's doing, grade yourself where you're at. Between now and the end of the month, you want to shore that stuff up. You want to start putting it on your calendar when you're going to do these things. It does not mean that on July 2nd that all of these things have to be being done. It means you have 30 days to be consistent with all of those things. How much can I learn during this next 30 days? Because what you do during those 30 days is what is the result you'll be. That will be your after person. So I want you to think about one of the easiest ways to figure out where you are and what you need to level up is be like, this is who I'd like to be in 30 days. This is where I am. And my realistic plan needs to be a tiny step ahead of this. That's it. It doesn't need to be all of this. It needs to be a tiny step ahead. And then what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the month is getting really good at following each day's plan. And then the next day when I make the next one, I'm going to decide, am I ready for a little more to get closer to my 30-day person? Or do I need to keep practicing this for just a little bit to feel confident before I add in something else? That is like a really good way to bypass your brain and to come up with ways to figure out where you're going, where you are, and just kind of what needs to happen on the in-between. And that's why I like the realistic plan, because what it can do is it can show you like tiny steps along the way, rather than it being like, oh my God, I got to lose 100 pounds. I'm never going to get there. Like, if you don't think about that yet, think about the next 30 days and what's going to be required of you. Like, whatever I'm going to need to do. And what will that end of the 30 days person be doing consistently? And then, I love how I said this. Teflon your plan. Teflonning your plan means you're going to identify. So one of the things I would love for you guys to do is when you look at your 30-day person and what she's doing, you look at where you are and you make your first, like your first plan. Teflonning it means what's likely to get in my way of making this happen. I'm an 8 or better, but what is an obstacle that could get in my way? What are the things that sometimes trip me up? Whatever those are, you need to talk yourself through it. Like, I would do this every day during this month if I was you guys. Every single day I would make a 24-hour plan. I would make it realistic. And I would also ask myself, what's likely to get in my way today? And what am I going to do about that? What's my game plan? What are the things I'm going to tell myself? What are the things I'm willing to do different? What is the strategy I need to implore? So like, let's say that every day, like let's say you've said, you know, I'm not going to eat snacks and all this other kind of stuff at 4 o'clock. But what's likely to get in your way is your kids come home and they're eating chips. And one of them says, hey, you want some, mama? Somebody is like honor bound to offer you food whenever you're not going to eat, right? So if you know that that's likely to happen, it's going to be one, knowing exactly what you're going to say and don't pretend you're caught off guard. Two, maybe ahead of time, you need to tell your kids or your husband or your coworkers. I was just coaching someone the other day and I said, we had a game plan for what she was going to do with, she was going out to eat with a bunch of friends and there was going to be drinks and it was like a little snack bar buffet. And she had decided she was not partaking. She was like, I don't want to partake. I've got some stuff to do the next day. Like, I don't want to have all this food in my system. I said, okay, that's a good reason. I said, why would you though? And she said, well, the only reason why I would be eating was because I'd be super uncomfortable about what they think about. I said, okay, then I like your reason for not doing it. It's not because you're afraid of the food. It's because you have like a compelling reason to not eat. So she went and she ate. And I said, well, did you tell anyone like before you got there what was going down? No. And I said, okay, so next time what we want to do is we want to implore the tactic of before you go, let your friends know what your plan is, that you won't be eating, but you're so looking forward to enjoying your time with them. That this is like more about the time you're spending and stuff, but that you have, you know, like she had this photo shoot and she's like, I have a photo shoot and I'm not going to be able to, you know, to drink and stuff. It'll just make me puffy. I think thinking through your obstacles and coming up with your strategies every single day is so good because it allows you to think about excuses you're likely to throw up. It allows you to think about like things that we always think are happening to us. So much of it is so routine. Like a lot of us think that it's like comes out of nowhere when people ask us for lunch on the week we started our diet. It's like the last 10 weeks they've asked you to go to lunch. It's like this week's no different. You're just now pissed because it happens to coincide with this. It's like understanding those things is everything. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to follow our realistic plans. Girls, we are going to follow our realistic plans. I'm going to say it one more time. This month, you are going to follow your realistic plans. I want you making them so realistic that is an easy win to collect. If you do a few days and you're not collecting wins, you are not making an easy plan to collect on at all. I want you to think out of the box. If you're the kind of person like, I don't know what I'm going to want for lunch, Corinne, it's going to be so terrible. Then put three fucking things down on your lunch plan and decide I only get one of these three. So that when your brain throws a titty baby fit that you don't know what you want, guess what? You can say back to the titty baby fit, say like, look, we got three fucking options, bitch. Pick one. You can stop the bleeding of all the excuses this month. If you will choose to follow the realistic plan, no matter what. Now, do not allow excuses from yourself. I want you to make a list tonight, or as soon as you hear this, what are all the bullshit excuses I tell myself to eat? You guys know them. There is no one in here. Everybody is at least a month old at this point, if not longer. Your excuses are not shock and awe moments anymore. Your excuses are probably, you know all of them, because I want it, because it tastes good, because it's fun, because I'm bored as fuck, whatever it is. They don't have to be elaborate. You need to know the sentences you say that cause you to want to eat. There are sentences in your brain that run through. Identify them. Do not let them be a surprise. So many of you, if you know the excuses and you write about them and you write, and this will be my response, keep that piece of paper where you normally do your overeating and be like, oh, excuse number 10, this is what I'm going to think. Make it easy on yourself to redirect your brain. You do not have to sit there and try to come up with magic unicorn thoughts on the fly. Do yourself a solid and have a cheat sheet. It's just like when I learned how to play poker. You know what I had? A freaking cheat sheet. I had what hand be what next to me. Played with it for a year. I had to get a hand and be like, what is it? And guess what? I'm a great poker player now. You know why? Because I didn't rely on my brain to try to come up with shit when I was under stress and duress and my money was in the middle of the pot. I had a piece of paper to take some pressure off. Same thing goes with you. Like when it's time for you to go all in on yourself, have a cheat sheet that tells you why the hell you're going all in and what you're going to say to yourself. There is no shame in that game. You know where the shame comes in? The next day when you don't follow your realistic plan, everybody losing weight on the Gift of Fat Challenge, you ain't. You're like, everybody's does so good without me. It's so unfair. I'm going to compare and despair. Save yourself from that pain. Make a list. And it ain't nobody's business. Some of you have families, you could write that shit, you can laminate it and put it right in the pantry and be like, this bitch is winning this month. Here's my bullshit excuses and here's what I'm going to say to myself. Y'all keep me in check. And some of you don't want nobody knowing what you're doing. So you know what? You keep it tucked away like under the broccoli, somewhere where a husband would never look for it. You get that shit out. And you look at it. And you give yourself the gift of being accountable to yourself. You may still break the plan, but what you won't be doing is giving up on yourself, because you will be giving yourself the gift of thinking and pausing and choice. For a lot of you, that is that first realistic step until you get really good at making a plan that you can follow. So know your excuses. And just know this, that even with a realistic plan, I don't care if it is an 8 or better or a solid 10, there's going to come a day during this month, probably about July 10th. Y'all won't have a good run this week, most of you. Some of you, it'll be tonight. Some of you, it'll be in like 10 days. And then suddenly, even the realistic plan, your brain will be like, wah, wah, I want to have popcorn. Let's just have this. Let's just do that. Your brain is going to whine, because that is what the brain does. There is nothing going wrong. It is all going right on schedule when all those thoughts come up. Here's the thing. Just because your brain's bitching doesn't mean that it's true, that it's right, or worth getting worked up over. It literally means, oh, I have decided to throw up the sentences that have worked for you so well for the last 10 years. That's all it's doing. It doesn't give a fuck about how you care, but how much, it, like how you feel at all. It does not. It just, its job is just to send up what it's always sent up. And so when initial enthusiasm and stuff is not as loud and your brain's quieter, it'll be like, whoa, here comes the thoughts. Do not get paranoid. Do not freak out. And do not sit there and think you're broken, something's going wrong, or that you can't handle it, because you absolutely can. This was always expected. It's just supposed to happen. If it wasn't happening, I'd wonder what the hell was going on. The other thing of this month is I want you to track like your life depends on it. Every 24-hour plan has to be done this month. Every recovery sheet has to be done this month. Do not for a hot second waste an overeat if you have one. They are full of data that needs to be collected. The only reason why you won't do it is because you're in shame. And that is not a good enough excuse for us anymore. We do not use the excuse or the justification that we feel bad about ourselves, or that we are beating ourselves up, or that this is terrible. No, we don't do that anymore. We just don't. We are now PNP tribe members. You know what PNP tribe members do? They don't shit on themselves because they overate or binged. You know what they do? They get to solving the issue. They get to looking for the pattern. They get to dissecting and figuring out their shit. You want the data, and do not convince yourself that you don't. That data cannot hurt you. The only thing that happens is when you binge or you overeat, you now have a circumstance in your model. And everything else you think, feel, and do after that is your responsibility. A binge and an overeat cannot hurt you. It just sits there. It is a word. It is the foods you ate. And if you feel hurt, shame, or pain, it is because you are electing to not manage your mind around what you decide to think about it. That's it. I want you to take ownership. The binge and the overeating is not causing you pain anymore. It is all me deciding to not take ownership of the data and figure this out. It's me wasting my time going through the pain cave of shame and despair. That is the long way to get to fixing this problem. Because you've got to work that model first. You have an unintentional model running on binges and overeats that the feeling line is shame, generated from a thought of, I'm no good, whatever it is. I'm a failure. I'll never fix this. That model has to get cleaned up in order to execute the model where the action line is you actually do something about it. You do a recovery worksheet. The recovery worksheet will not be born out of the shame model. Avoidance and crying and probably more eating will be born out of the shame model. So let's just go straight to being like, all right, this happened. Time to do the work and get busy on it. And then I want you to use the things that are happening this month to make informed decisions on your level ups. So like what I want you to do is notice if you have any thoughts coming up around old diet mentality, perfectionism, like this is how I should eat stuff. When you first start making your realistic plans, if you're not following them, look first for the thoughts that you're generating behind making the plan. So the result is the plan, and it probably won't be realistic if it's not being followed. The thought will be something like, I have to eat this. I need faster results. Whatever it is, if you're not following the plan, I want you to look for the thoughts and the feelings that are generating an unrealistic plan, a plan that you're not committed to. You ladies, please take this to ask coaches when it's happening. I know I'm talking a lot about models, but everybody's been through the model module now. I want you guys to really love the model because it really teaches us so much. If you don't know how to do one, do not worry about it. Take it to ask coaches and say, Corinne talks about a model. I had an overeat. I'm thinking and feeling this. Help me see my models. Let them help you with it. I promise you, it will help you see in real clear ways what's going on. But in the end, if you will just do like, I'm thinking and feeling this when I overeat, you just about have done the model. But just know that if you're not following your plans, it's because they're still not realistic. There's something going on there, and we need to solve for it. We need to know what energy and thoughts are generating those kinds of plans, and we need to switch it. And the last thing is, guys, there's just no room for judgment this month. None. I want you to like not waste time judging yourself, and I want you to get busy finding solutions and answers. This month is all about doing what you say you will do. It is all about solutions and answers and finding those more than you're looking for blame and excuses. And just showing up no matter what, every single day. You just show up for yourself in the best way you can for that day. It's going to be different every single day, and that's okay. But when you do these things, I promise you it's going to help. That's why I wanted to kick Gift of Fat Month off with the realistic plan. All right, I am going to answer a few questions and see how much time we have left. Let me do this too. There's lots of people looking for accountability coaches. I have food intolerances, dairy, and yeast. Do you have mindset advice when it comes to realistic planning without feeling restricted when avoiding food intolerances? Yeah. So like if you can't have dairy and yeast, the realistic plan just wouldn't have those. But the feeling restricted is not a feeling. You may feel deprived, but it's because you're thinking, I can't have these and that's unfair or something along those lines, rather than I am not eating these because they make me feel like shit. I'm not eating these because I shit my pants when I eat them, whatever it is. Like the way to not feel deprived is to like think about it in a way. It's like, nobody's taking this stuff away from me. I am not eating these things because I happen to be one of those people that my body says there's a reaction to this and it's not very pleasant. And that's the way you don't feel deprived. But restriction, we're all doing restriction this month. We're going to restrict ourselves from excuses. We're going to restrict ourselves from bullshit judgment. We're going to restrict ourselves from eating after too much food. We restrict all the time. You're restricted when you drive down the interstate. Nobody's like, oh my God, 75 miles an hour. I'm so restricted. I don't even know how I'm going to be able to drive down the interstate. I want you to think about that. Restriction is not a bad thing unless you're doing it from a place of self-loathing. Now, if you're withholding food because you think it's unfair and stuff, yeah, that's self-loathing. But if you're withholding food because it fucking blows in your body, that's how you use restriction for yourself. That's how you love yourself. I find myself struggling with planning breakfast, waiting to eat till I am hungry, and then it being too late to get what I planned for breakfast. For example, I put eggs and potatoes this morning, but I wasn't hungry till 11 and no place near me was serving breakfast. What do you do in those situations? I'd quit planning breakfast. If you're waiting until you're eating to get hungry and you notice that most days it's like 11 o'clock, just plan lunch. You could also just have like a, like, here's the breakfast option. But if I, like if I eat at 11, here's the lunch option. That would be, that would work too. Something we can all use a reminder on how to plan when we are walking into uncertainty, like a catered business dinner, a vacation, a potluck. I'll be traveling for work soon, and I'm already thinking how I need to write my non-specific plans. Yeah, Sarah, so I travel all the time. Like, I have a trip this weekend, I have a trip the next weekend, and then I turn around in 2 weeks and go on another trip. Like I'm trippy, and I rarely know whatever is going to be served or anything. Like, I don't plan. Here's what I do. The day that I get there, I write out a plan that's as specific as I know that I can make it for the day. So I always know if I'm going to be having drinks or not for the day. I always know if I'm going to be drinking my water all day. I know if I'm going to have breakfast. A lot of times when I go places, like, they serve breakfast and I just choose not to eat breakfast because it's usually a bunch of like croissants and shit that I'm not going to eat. So I'm just like, it's a no breakfast day. It's like extra coffee for me. Or if I know, there's one place that I go where the host always does like bacon and eggs and stuff, I always eat breakfast on that day because I can get like all the foods I like, but I'm not like a muffin girl. So what I would do is I would just think about, for all of you, when you go places, this is what I would not think. I'm walking into uncertainty. You're fucking certain. Like, I want you to know this. You're certain that you don't have to eat anything that doesn't work for your body and your results. Like, I would never think I'm walking into uncertainty. There's only plan, maybe if I was walking into, I don't know, a hostage situation and I was going to have to go in there and disarm someone, I'd be like, no, that's some uncertainty. I'm down with that. That's going to put me on alert. But that's the problem. It's like, if you're thinking, I'm not saying you're doing this, but if anyone is thinking that they're like, this is so uncertain, what that means is let's open the door to confusion. Let's open the door for doubt. Let's open the door for these other feelings, because that's what ends up happening. It's like, here's what I'm certain of. I'm certain my ass can make wise decisions. I'm certain my ass can eat from 2 to 2. I'm certain I can say no if someone offers me something that I wasn't planning to have. I'm certain that I'm not a breadbasket girl. I'm for sure certain that I don't drink sugary drinks. Like, I always, like, I have a rule. I either drink club soda with liquor or I drink wine. That's like it. You don't ever see me sitting around like if it's a party and I plan to have drinks and I don't know what they're serving, you don't see me drinking anything else. So thinking about all the ways that you are certain is so good. Laura, can you talk specifically about your thought process when you level up? Was some of it a natural evolution? Some of it was very natural. It was like, it started for me with, or did you do thought work for everything like you did with ice cream and wine? So for me, what it was, like, I did more thought work with the wine. And when the early stages for me, it was more like natural. It was like, once I started feeling like, oh my gosh, like, here I am. I've gone to the gym like every day for 15 minutes and walked and stuff. I was like, what else could I do? And it was like, that's when I started thinking about, okay, well, maybe I should like walk for 30 minutes. And I talked to Chris, like, I'm going to stay there 30 minutes. And then when I kept doing that, I started just feeling better because I was moving. I was like, what can I change in my food? Like, it was that whole powerful question. What can I change? What am I willing to do? What am I ready for? And I would just look. I would just look at what I was doing and be like, I think I'm going to try this. But I was always really curious about it. So one of the things that I never was sitting there thinking, I should do this. This will get the best results. Like, I was never thinking that I had to do something to feel better. I was always thinking like, ooh, I want to try this and I want to see what happens. I was always willing to see what happens because I knew that I was done beating the shit out of myself over it. I knew in my heart that every time I tried to lose weight, beating the crap out of myself, it was a surefire way to set myself up for failure. If I was just open to making some mistakes and learning from it to figure out what was going to work, it just worked for me. And that's how I did so many of my level ups. I'm getting very close to goal and going from better, best foods while losing 55 pounds to adding good foods in for the last 10. It's to learn how to eat these foods and maintain control over my hunger scale. Then I start thinking I'm deluding myself and sabotaging the last 10. I have a tendency to try to make things hard and sit in self-doubt. How can I keep it curious, not delusional? I think you got to quit calling it delusional to keep it from being delusional. Here's the thing. Just be curious. See if it works. If it doesn't work, then change gears. But give it 2 weeks. Try it for 2 weeks. If the scale's not moving, it's not working. Either go back to what you were doing or try something else, but stay in the land of this is what I'm trying and this is what I'm experimenting with, and I'm going to keep track of it and I'm going to be super honest. I don't think you're being delusional. The only way that you're going to sabotage your last 10 pounds though is if you start eating more food than you need. Just always remember, it's going to be about, are you eating more food than you need? If you're eating to your two, you'll be fine. If you're sitting there and you're like, well, I think now I can probably lose 10 pounds and eat to my three, we have a problem. I did a coaching call on June 30th, 2019, which is yesterday, but for the future recording. And I think the second girl, we talked exactly about this. It's the, you know, delusional thinking is, I'm doing it all, or I'm doing these things and I have no data, or I'm not even looking at my data. I'm just going by how I feel things are going. Guys, none of us need to trust that radar. Here's what we need to do. Write that shit down, track it, put some math to it, and the numbers don't lie. And that's how I would do that. Can my realistic plan just be a 24-hour plan consistently for 4 weeks? Yeah, the realistic plan is the 24-hour plan. It's just the 24-hour plan needs to be realistic every day. I've lost 13 pounds since joining. Yay! I have 7 left. Oh, Holly, you're doing so good. I plan and assess every day. I feel like I've lost and gained the same 2 pounds now for the past 3 weeks. I'm eating healthy and I'm pretty good at the 4 basics, although I struggle getting all my water in. How do I start to level up without feeling like I'm restricting too much? First, get your water in. That ain't restricting. That's abundancing. Guys, quit telling me that you feel like you're restricting as if that's bad. I am restricted from going out and screwing other men. You know why? Because I'm married. I don't sit around going, I'm so restricted from all the good-looking guys that walk up down my street. Like, I would never come on a coaching call and say to you guys, how am I supposed to go to Vegas and see good-looking men and not feel restricted? Do you think I could just, like, fuck a couple of them? Like, none of us would ever say that, but we say the same things with food. It's like, I really want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose my last 7 pounds. I want to do these things, but I really don't want to feel restricted. It's like, then don't think shitty thoughts about it. Say, I love the idea of being 7 pounds leaner. And then make choices on your action line that feel good. Like, say, like, yeah, so I'm going to, like, not have this week. Like, the last 2 weeks, if you've been dicking around with 2 pounds for the same 3 weeks, then something there needs to change. Like, pretty good at the 4 basics ain't cutting it. You need to be good at the 4 basics. You need to be consistent with the 4 basics. Doing the 4 basics consistently is not a depriving, self-loathing restriction. It's doing the 4 things your body was always intended to do to get you to your natural weight. Nowhere in there says, like, you can't eat. You got to do something stupid. It's just like, decide what those actions are going to be and then do them. And do them because you want the 7 pounds more than you need to be entertained by whatever small things, like, literally. Comb through your plan and look at it and say, like, if I had no drama about feeling restricted, what are the things that I would, like, for sure, like, if I could just guarantee 7 pounds would come off and I was going to have no drama and no shitty thoughts, I could get rid of this, or I could eat a little less of this, or I could do this. Whatever that is, the only thing standing in your way is a bullshit thought. That's it. It ain't because you are restricted. It's because you got a bullshit thought causing drama for yourself. Clean the bullshit thought up. But you're doing really good, Holly, after all that. What percent should I be hitting and staying on plan before I consider realistic planning good and time to start leveling up? 100%. 100%. You should be like following your plan 100%. Like if every now and then something happens and it's like an anomaly and you are ready to level up, that's fine. But you guys, like, let's get on it. Let's be realistic and follow those plans. Make them realistic. I don't care if you've got to put all the snacks down. Then put all the snacks down. Here's the magic of the realistic plan. When you do it and you really plan, so let's say you're like Burger King and it's a BK breakfast for me. Oh my God, I'm like the Whopper meal of the day for lunch. And I like to slide on in and get, don't they have like some kind of chicken sticks or something, whatever it is. Like, let's say you're Burger King all day. You need to plan Burger King all day. You know why? Because right now you're doing it and you're doing it behind your back and you're lying to yourself about it. And then you're like dumping an ass load of shame on top of it. And you're sitting around going, I don't know why I can't lose weight. I want it, but I just don't understand why it's not enough. And you're just spending all your energy in a big old drama cloud. And I'm like, let's cut the shit. Let's write BK down every single meal. And then you show up for Burger King because it's on the plan. It won't be as fun. You know why? Because your mind, your conscious brain is going to step in and intervene. Right now, if you're not planning it and you're just grab-assing and you're just eating shit and like saying you can't get your shit together, your unconscious brain, the shit you always think is flying in and it feels true. And you are like hook, line, and sinker. You just believe in all that bullshit you tell yourself. You write all that down on the plan. And you're like, all right, this morning is Burger King. I'm like two Egg McMuffin. No, wait, that's McDonald's. I'm like two bacon cheese biscuits and some hash browns and one of them iced coffees with an extra shot of sugar. You're going to get it and you're going to sit to eat it. And it is not going to be near as satisfying or fun. It will probably be a shitty experience. Right now, it's not. Right now, what it is like I'm tuning out experience. I don't want to know this part of me. I don't want to admit this part of me. What I want to do is I want to have an excuse to pull in. I want to eat the food and tune out, go about my day, and then later beat myself up because that's my plan. That's my habit. That's my realistic plan for the day. Because that's really what's going on. So I want you to actually plan it so that when you're doing it, you're conscious that you're doing it. It's like, shit, man, I was thinking I was going to lose some weight this month, but man, this is aggressive. Maybe I should just order one of these sandwiches. Maybe I should only eat one. Maybe I should stop in the middle. That's when you know you're doing it right. Now, not every realistic plan is like three times a day Burger King. Some of you guys, your realistic plans are going to be kind of healthy and stuff. That's fine too. It's whatever. There's no rule. The only rule is, though, is that you got to feel really good that you're going to follow it. But the realistic plan's job is to make sure that, so understand this concept. In the habit part of your brain resides all the excuses, the justifications, the self-loathing, the things that you just think and believe because you've always thought and believed them. You've never challenged them. You've never even questioned their validity. They're so painful, you want to hang on to them because they make sense. It's like, well, Corinne, look, I'm overweight. I have all the evidence in the world that I'm a loser when it comes to weight loss. When you have a realistic plan, the unconscious brain will send up stuff, but in that moment when you're looking at the plan and you're following it, your conscious brain turns on also. Inside your conscious brain is your hopes, your dreams, and your desires. It's the things you want for yourself. It's not the stuff that you don't want for yourself. That's what the unconscious brain does. So you allow this part of your brain to get involved in the conversation. And for most of you, when your conscious brain has the opportunity to argue for yourself and to have a voice, you start about half the time making better choices anyway. Without having to drastically change anything, and having to like dramatically work for it. And that's the key. That's why I have you start there. I realized that I wasn't writing realistic plans and was having a lot of off-plan eats. Last week, I wrote really realistic and lost 2.4 pounds. Good for you, sweetie. It included an ice cream sandwich, which I had been avoiding until I listened to your coaching and realized I have to lose it as I live it. This was a breakthrough. What is realistic with journaling? I haven't been able to write every day, more like 3 to 4 days per week. I'm a January baby down 41 pounds. Good for you, first of all, Julie. Realistic would be like kind of what you're doing. Just say like, I commit to this week, I will journal X amount of times. You could even do something along these lines of like, I will spend 10 minutes in my journal 3 times a week and 2 minutes in my journal the other days. Just to kind of get you on the habit of doing it every day if you wanted to. Sometimes I have people just say like, you don't even need to do a full on journal entry. All you need to do is write the top three things I'm thinking, like the top three sentences today that I'm thinking about my day are. And then just being aware of how you're starting the day thinking and question it. Just be like, is this what I want to think about today? Is this the energy I want to bring into the world? Is there anything else I could think about my day that would be better? Just doing that is a great way to kickstart the day when you just got to do it fast and quick. I'm doing my realistic plan with food. I'm finding some meals I can skip completely, or I level up right before the meal. Like today, I decided not to have a sandwich I planned. I just had the meat and cheese and skipped the bread. Okay. I feel like I'm just reducing my food intake, and I do get a little thought like I'm dieting, but physically and mentally I feel fine. Is this okay? Do I just push through this thought? Yeah, well, just tell yourself, when you think I'm dieting, there's nothing wrong with dieting at all. Dieting just means like you're just going to eat in accordance to what you want your natural weight to be. That's it. If you don't want to think I'm dieting, you need to ask yourself why. What do you make it mean when you're dieting? Whatever that thought is, that's the one we need to fix. Because I'm dieting. Hell, we're all dieting all the time. There's a lot of people that follow all kinds of diets. Like a vegan diet, nobody goes, I'm dieting. They're like, I'm vegan. Like they don't have drama around it. So it's like, what are you making dieting mean? And it means this. And whatever this is where the problem is coming in. That is the thought I want you to do model on. That is the thought I want you to switch out and come up with something better. I'm seeing some people losing 8 pounds a week and some 1 pound a week. I realize it's different depending on how much weight you want to lose. What is a good weekly weight loss goal when you're trying to lose 20 pounds? Like for everyone, it's 0.5 to 2. But listen, when you have a lot of, like we have so, this is what I want all of you to understand. We have a lot of girls in the tribe that have 200 to 300 pounds to lose. And we have a lot of people who have 10 to 50 pounds to lose. We have people like all over the spectrum. If somebody's losing 8 pounds in the first few weeks, please, y'all, and this, I'm not saying you did this. Please do not judge them as if they're doing something crazy. For a lot of people who have a lot of weight to lose, they have a lot of inflammation that they can be losing. They have a lot of weight they can be, water they can be losing, which they all need to lose on top of fat. Nobody needs to be carrying around that much water. It's not even good for you to carry that much retention. So for a lot of you, don't get freaked out if somebody's like, I want to be losing 8 pounds a week too. It's like, here's what I want you doing. Do not focus on how much someone's losing. Look at the things they're doing. That is where you want to put your energy and effort into. What actions are they doing? Because it's always about the actions you're taking that equal your results. But a half a pound to 2 pounds per week for anyone is just normal. That's just normal. Two is not better than a half, guys. For all of you, I want you to hear this. You really need to understand that losing weight is just fine, even if it's a half a pound at a time. The only way that you won't like it is if you're like, well, it'll take forever. If you're like deciding right now to love your life and you're deciding right now to create the life you love and you're going to start enjoying your life now, you won't care how long it takes. You'll be so focused on what you're doing now that feels so good. I never tracked how long it took me to lose weight. I had to go back and figure it out after the fact. You know why? Because I was loving who I was becoming. I had decided to love who I was going to become. So there was no rush to become that person because I was really focused I'm cleaning up how I thought about myself, and cleaning up all the things that I did for myself on the regular basis, and cleaning up how I was thinking about the things I was doing for myself. There was nothing to run from anymore. Somebody loves my lip color. This is Kylie. It's from the Coco collection from 2018. Okay, I'm going to answer just a couple more, and then we're going to get out of here, guys. At the start of my realistic planning, I would cook for my family of five kids. I would make myself smaller portions, chicken nuggets, mac and cheese, veggies, then leveled up to organic mac and cheese or gluten-free chicken nuggets, items in the same category. Now I'm making chicken salad. Is this a good realistic plan to level up? I think it's wonderful. Now for the hard part. Dinner, we are a traveling sports family and having a weekend off is rare. What is a good realistic plan for days or weekends like this? I've tried packing a cooler, but healthy food doesn't hold up at the time the team goes out to eat. So most of the time when the team goes out to eat, I would just eat when I go out and just pick a salad or pick a protein and some vegetables or something along those lines. You know, even if you're going to McDonald's, you can get a salad. There's hardly any reason why you can't get healthy food anymore. Unless you guys are just going to Pit Barbecue, then I would just get some Pit Barbecue and a little bit of coleslaw to eat to my two. That'll be fine too. I would just pack the earlier part of the day. If the food in the cooler won't hold up at night, then I would just pack in the earlier part of the day. Also, if you have a hotel, a lot of times you can just stock the fridge and have something for you when you get back to the room. If they don't have a fridge in your hotel rooms, one of the other things you can do is almost every single hotel has an employee fridge, especially if you're staying at a hotel that has free breakfast. They have big ass fridges. If you want to go grab yourself something from the store, like a pre-made salad from a store or like a gas station or whatever, and load their fridge up, most of the time they're very accommodating because they want your business so much. I have done that so many times. Sometimes I'm not sure when I will be at mealtime. Is it okay to put two options for dinner? Sure. What are some good go-to thoughts for, fuck it, I'll just do a recovery worksheet, or, but it just tastes so good. Here's the thing. You need to know those ahead of time. If you know them ahead of time now, what I need you to do is just tell yourself, like, there's no fuck it and I'll do a recovery worksheet. I would just tell myself that's not an acceptable excuse anymore. What is the real reason why I want to eat? I can eat, but I got to be really honest why I want it right now. Same thing with, but it just tastes so good. No, it doesn't. Here's what I would tell myself. It may taste so good, but you know what doesn't taste good? The taste in my mouth when I weigh in on Friday. So before I eat this, I need to think about why I really want it now. Is it because I don't want to tell myself no? Is it because I think that I can't handle sitting in for 90 seconds without it? Whatever it is, have that whole script and be brutally honest with yourself. Most of you hear that thought and just like, moving on. You gotta have the argument, guys. You gotta know exactly what you're gonna tell yourself. You gotta be very like firm-handed with yourself. Because you can even be nice to yourself, just be like, honey, I know you wanna lose weight. So before you can have this, here's what I need you to do. I need you to just tell me why you need it so bad right now. Why you think you can't have your own back right now. Guys, you got to have this conversation. I would write this shit down on index cards. If you know, Stacy, if this is your thing, you owe it to yourself to get out a piece of paper and write down what you say and write down the conversation you're willing to have with yourself. And you need to keep it someplace where you can access it and look at it frequently. Like, don't just say this on a Zoom, get a response, and then never think about it again. Be like, well, that didn't work. Guys, it's not going to work unless you're writing this shit down, you're rereading it, and you're looking at it 10 to 20 times a week. Do not rely on your brain to want to have that conversation in the moment unless you've prepared the conversation ahead of time. It's just going to want the food. It is not going to be interested in your bullshit conscious brain kicking on and trying to negotiate with you all your greater dreams and desires. It's going to be like, fuck that. We'll do a recovery worksheet. You need to have it written out. And it needs to be the person who gives a shit about your dreams. That person needs to write. And here's what we're going to think and say to ourselves before we eat. The new rule is if this excuse flies, it only flies through this net first. And look at it. Like, guys, do not sit there and tell me the shit doesn't work. If you are not like, well, I tried that like twice, Corinne. I don't understand why my lifelong habit of saying fuck it isn't changing. It's a lifelong habit. It is a thought you've had forever. Please do not expect. It would be like saying, look, now I showed you a toilet to a three-year-old. I don't know why you're not just like wiping and flushing and running up in there and taking your damn pants off. They've been crapping a diaper since they were born. It takes a little longer. You got to work with them. So I want you to be willing to work with yourself. Guys, anything that you've been telling yourself over and over and over again all your life deserves at least a couple months of trying to change the conversation. And don't tell me you're tired of it. I won't hear it. You don't want to hear it. Like, it's so exhausting. Aren't you freaking tired of sitting around and wondering when you're going to get your shit together? Aren't you like so wanting the day that you're tired going to bed because you slayed all day and you killed it and you did it in a size 8? Let's all like be really tired at the end of the day because we're doing shit for ourselves and we're not going to bed every single day tired because all we're doing is shitting on ourselves. That's the way I roll. I'd rather go to bed tired every single day redirecting my brain towards greatness than to sit around going to bed tired every night because I beat the shit out of myself and was too damn lazy to change the conversation. All right, guys, that is all I got time for. We have over an hour already. Thank you so much. Gift of Fat Month. Get in there. Get after it. If you don't do anything this month, I want you planning realistically and tracking the hell out of yourself. I promise you, those who plan realistically and track all month long, you will, by the end of July, feel like a different person, and I bet you will have lost weight. All right, y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon.